Thank you, Dusty. Now, I have something really important to say before I get to the message this morning. That is, today is Dusty's grace card. That means it's Youth Sunday. Youth minister is supposed to preach on Youth Sunday. The next one's in May, so you hold him to that, all right? We want to hear what he has to say, okay? So let's give Dusty and his wife Emily a big hand because they're doing a wonderful job with our youth program. If you're here this morning and you're new and you really don't know who anybody is, my name's Michael Luke. I'm the preaching minister here at Central Park. Sometimes I get the opportunity to lead worship as well, but my primary area is preaching and teaching. And I just want to say I'm glad you're here. And I have a message that is very important for our congregation today. Before we get to that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, guide us now as we hear from your word. These principles are important because, Father, you think that children are important. So, Father, guide us now as we hear from you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. I heard about two third graders that were having a discussion about adults. And one of them complained to the other, saying, first they teach you how to walk, then they teach you how to talk, and everything after that is sit down and shut up. Now I have to ask you this morning, is that your opinion about young people? Do you view them as an inconvenience? Do you ignore them altogether? Or do you see them as being extremely important? And the big question, though, is how does your view match up with Jesus' view? And this morning, we're going to look at a particular event, an encounter that took place during Jesus' earthly ministry that instructs us in this area. And I left my clicker over here. That's really good. I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of our ministry to young people. It's in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And this is what it says. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. This morning, on the back of your bulletin, there's an outline. If you'd like to follow along, fill in the blanks. I want to talk about five important principles about the importance of our ministry to young people with Jesus brings out in this passage. The first principle is this. We need to embrace them. We need to embrace our young people. Now, notice something here in this passage. Notice that Mark says that people were bringing children to Jesus. Why does Mark use this specific term, people, instead of saying parents? Well, there must have been more people than just parents bringing these kids to Jesus. There are probably grandparents and aunts and uncles or brothers and sisters or even neighbors who brought these children to Jesus. They became involved in the process. The same event is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. And in all three Gospels, he uses the same term. Holy Spirit inspired scripture uses the same term, people. And we as adults need to avoid the temptation of just sitting back and talking about all that's wrong with young people today and how things are not like they were when we were growing up. What happens with that kind of attitude is it moves us toward wariness, or it moves us toward indifference to young people. It keeps us from being involved with them. And from what we see here in this encounter with Jesus, we're supposed to be actively involved in bringing these young people to know and be blessed by Jesus. Why is it important to bring someone to Jesus while they're young? Well, statistically, young people are more likely to commit to following Jesus than older people. A Gallup poll from just a few years ago, I think, is very revealing in this area. It showed that 19 out of 20 Christians are saved before the age of 25. After the age of 25, it moves to 1 in 10,000. After the age of 35, it's 1 in 50,000. After the age of 45, it's 1 in 300,000. 55, the same one. And after age 75, it's 1 in 700,000. Now that doesn't mean that we ought to stop trying to reach adults with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What it means is that the prospects of a good return on our investment is much greater for young people than it is for older people. What we do in our ministry to youth is not just about spending money. It's not just about having a good time. It's not about being entertained. It's not about a different style of music. It's not about taking them to a place where they won't disturb the adults. Our ministry to youth is really about the kingdom of God. Have you ever noticed we tend to invest in the wrong things? We invest in houses that will be eaten by termites, that will burn down, that will be blown away in a tornado. We invest in cars that will rust or break down, get crushed for scrap metal. We invest in clothes that go out of style, that get too small and then get discarded. I think there's a real sound investment strategy in what we see in this encounter with Jesus. And it's this: when we invest in young people, we are investing in the kingdom of God. And what we invest in young people, we are investing in the kingdom of God. We need to embrace our young people. Secondly, we need to enjoy them. We need to enjoy them. We shouldn't just go through the motions of ministry. We need to delight in, we need to relish in the opportunities that we have to bring young people to Jesus. Notice in our passage this morning that the disciples kept the people from bringing the youth to Jesus. They thought of themselves as the all-important keepers of the inner circle. And they thought that Jesus did not need to be bothered by people who were as insignificant as young people. Now, not only does Mark mention this particular account in his gospel, Matthew and Luke do as well. And in all three gospels, the term that is used when referring to what the disciples did is as they rebuked the people. They rebuked the people who were bringing children to Jesus. It's the same word used in a different place to describe what Jesus did to the storm on the Sea of Galilee, where he calmed the storm. It means to muzzle. It has the idea of strictly forbidding something with the threat of punishment that goes along if that command is not obeyed. The disciples decided they were going to keep these noisy children and their nuisance guardians away from Jesus. After all, they figured he had better things to do. And the question really is this: why would these followers of Jesus, these close followers, his disciples, do something like that? After all, in the ministry that Jesus had, they had already seen Jesus' heart for children. In Mark's gospel, he records several events where Jesus reaches out to children. In Mark chapter 5, verse 41, we see where he raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. In Mark chapter 7, he delivers the Syrophoenician woman's daughter from the influence of a demon. In Mark chapter 9, he delivers a boy who's possessed with a demon that left him unable to speak. And then a very telling passage in Mark chapter 9, verses 23 or 33 through 37. It says they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because the way they had argued about was who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child, whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes them, one of these little children in my name, welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." See, Jesus said, you welcome the children, you're saying Jesus is all right with me. And when you say Jesus is all right with me, you say God the Father's all right with me. Yet after the disciples had seen all of this, what did they do? They kept the young people from coming to Jesus. What was Jesus' reaction to what they did? In verse 14, it tells us that Jesus was indignant with the disciples. Now, indignant means that you're extremely upset or very angry over something that is wrong or something that is unfair. In the original language here, the term used comes from a compound word that means to grieve much. It's a word that signified deep and emotional pain. And so what we see here is what the disciples did. That made Jesus extremely angry and extremely sad at the same time. Because Jesus thought no one should see children as being insignificant to him. Instead, what we see Jesus doing, he welcomes all of the young people. He enjoyed having them around. He displayed his enjoyment by sitting the little ones on his lap. He placed his hands on these young people in a way that signified to those that were watching that he was blessing them. He was giving them his approval. You see, the disciples thought Jesus needed protection from bothersome young people. But Jesus instead vividly points out sometimes it's people that need to be protected from the adults. Third thing, we need to encourage our young people. Encourage our young people. That's what Jesus did, isn't it? He let them know they were important. He displayed his affection for them. He demonstrated just how important they were to him. So I want to give you some practical ways this morning to encourage our young people. First of all, speak to them. Don't let them just walk by and go without a greeting. Speak to them. Let them know they're welcome. Let them know they're appreciated. Here's another one. And sometimes we look at people and we forget to do this. Smile. Smile. Don't you hate it when it looks like somebody's been baptized in pickle juice? They measure their piety by the droop of the frown on their face. Smile at these young people. Demonstrate the joy of Jesus in your life. Bless them by showing that you are happy that they are here. Third thing, give them a pat on the back. Tell them you think they're doing a great job. Number four, and I kind of talked about this last week. Spiritually adopt one or more of them. Spiritually adopt one or more of them. Be a grandparent to them. Give them things that encourage them. Shower them with that encouragement. Number five, talk positively about our youth program. Talk about young people. Talk about the impact that they're having on other young people in our community. And number six, you need to tell others about our youth program. Find some young people and bring them to Jesus. We have invested money in hiring a youth minister. And as I said earlier, Dusty and Emily are doing a great job. They're excited about Jesus. They're excited about young people. They love Jesus. They love young people. It's a great thing to do. Let's bring some more kids here. The next thing that that we need to do with these young people, we need to equip them. We need to equip them. Youth ministry is basically an offering of service by the local church as a whole, not just a hired youth minister. It's by the local church as a whole. It's to the young people as a whole church. It's for the young people on behalf of the whole church. It's with young people by the whole church. And it's from young people to the whole church. Youth ministry involves very important elements. These are the first two. The first element communicating the grace of God to our young people through the preaching and teaching of the Word, through accepting them as being important to God and meeting their needs, striving to show the love of Jesus Christ to them in both our attitudes and actions. That's a primary one. The second one is this. It's enabling these young people to find faith and to find identity in Jesus Christ and to develop their God-given ministry within the church. One of the most important things that we can do is equip our young people to serve the Lord in the local church and in their communities. One of the important things about doing that is encouraging some of our young people to attend Christian college. It develops better leaders for the church. Some of them go into professional ministry. Others go into different professions. But they all serve the church in a better way because they have been equipped for that ministry. Why should we invest in our ministry to young people? First, it's for their benefit. It's for their benefit. They need the saving power of God in their lives. They need a strong faith to face the pressures of this world. They need the love of Christ. The second thing is, it's for our benefit. Now, I'm going to say more about this in just a few minutes, but I want you to take note about what Jesus said to the adults. He said, adults need to become more childlike. Adults need to become more childlike rather than children becoming more like adults. Isn't that what we try to do? We try to make them become adults. Jesus said, adults need to become more childlike. You see, to truly live in the kingdom of God, we have to be humble and trusting and like obedient children. In other words, young people, Jesus says, can teach us a few things about the kingdom of God. So that's the fifth thing this morning. We need to emulate the young people. John Piper is a great preacher. And I want you to listen to something that he wrote. He said this, "Have you ever asked why God designed the world so that the human race multiplies by having babies that take years to become adults? Why didn't God design the human race so that we multiply like earthworms? One adult splits to become another adult." He could have done it that way, Piper says, and he could have done it any other number of ways. And he asks, why did God ordain that there be children and not just adults? Here's the answer he gives. Children stand for something. They point to something. They represent something. They signify something bigger than themselves. They stand for the kind of dependence and helplessness and need and insufficiency and faith that is required of adults to enter the kingdom of God. And then he quotes Jesus from verse 14 of our passage, and he says, to such as these belongs the kingdom. That's the meaning of their unique existence. You see, young people are precious in their own right. They stand for something bigger than themselves. They model the kind of dependence, the kind of helplessness, the kind of insufficiency and faith that's required for adults to enter the kingdom of God. And I think here it wraps all down to this. Jesus' interaction with young people demonstrates clearly that God's acceptance of us has nothing to do with what we've accomplished. God's acceptance of us has nothing to do with what we've accomplished. His grace is given to those who really have done nothing substantial in the eyes of the world, like young people. Grace is God giving to me everything that I cannot obtain on my own. Did you get that? Grace is God giving to me everything that I cannot obtain on my own. Grace is being accepted by God even though I don't deserve it, even though I'm not worthy of it. And you know, that's something every one of us needs to know. Not just young people. Every one of us. God doesn't want relationship with us because we've earned the right to relationship. He wants relationship with us just because He loves us. And that kind of love deserves our utmost devotion. So as we wrap up this message this morning, I want to ask you this question. What is it that's most important in your life? Are you worried about earthly things? Are you worried about paying your mortgage or getting the right clothes or having enough to eat? I want you to listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 6:33. He says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well." Grace is not dependent on what we earn. Grace is dependent on God providing for us everything we cannot do for ourselves. Is anything in your life more important than Jesus? Is there anything in your life more important than Jesus? Anything more important than your relationship with Jesus, both for yourself and for others? I say if there is something more important, and the Bible says if there's something more important, then you're investing in the wrong things. The sound investment strategy, investing in the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You love us. We thank You that You provided for us. We thank You that You give us grace through Jesus Christ. We thank You that we have hope for this life, hope for the future. But most of all, we're just thankful, Father, that You love us. We don't earn relationship with You. You simply give it to us because You love us. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be singing this little song of hope and inspiration, dedication, and commitment. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this is a good time to make that decision. As we sing this song that talks about Jesus being more important than things the world thinks is important. You're more important than silver, more important than gold. There's nothing that compares with Jesus.